Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
You're listening to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea Gillis.
And I'm Steph Page. We're two Canadian expats now living in Australia and the UK.
Between the two of us, we've been through the ringer in our travels, experiencing missed flights, volcanic eruptions, and even a terrorist attack.
It's not all that extreme, though. We've also experienced heartwarming, life-changing moments and met amazing people along the way. So kick back and listen to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad.
Welcome to another episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Stephanie.
Hello, Steph. We are in.
Hey.
How many weeks now? Lockdown. I'm quarantined. I'm almost out of quarantine. I'll be out on Monday.
Yeah.
I've stuck to the rules.
I am on week 4 of our 6-week stage 3 lockdown and just finishing week 1 of our 6-week stage 4 lockdown.
Woo. So
who knows anymore? It's like when you open a bottle of wine and you're filling it up before you finish in a glass.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Kind of what our lockdown is like over
yeah.
here.
I mean, doesn't it
yeah.
feel funny that every week we're like, we talk about this and we're like cheering each other on. It's like, well done. You've done another week. Like, this is what 2020 has come to. Where these are small wins for us. Like, me just sitting at home for almost 2 weeks is an accomplishment in 2020.
What is life anymore?
I know. But what we're talking about today, there's a new phenomena happening.
Yes.
And it's called
revenge travel.
Revenge travel. It sounds yes. so ominous, doesn't it?
It does. And you were the one who actually said we should do this. And I was like, all right, yeah. I had no idea what the hell you were talking about.
Yeah.
So what I did actually first was I was like, okay. If I'm going to do this before I do any research, I wrote down a list of all the trips I want to take, when I want to take them, how I want to take them.
Yeah.
And then I started researching this and I was like, yep, these researchers and marketing people know,
oh, yeah.
know what's going on because my plan
it's a thing.
Is well, exactly what they said.
Well, let's first just explain quickly what is revenge travel. If those of you listening, this is the first you've heard of it. It's sort of a new, it's a new term happening right now in COVID, and it comes from revenge spending. So in China, now yes. that everything's kind of getting back to normal, the economy is starting to get a bit better. People are spending the shit out of their money because they've been locked at home for months and they're like, I'm going to spend. Like, you can't see me yeah. right now. I'm doing that like thing with my hands where dollar
like
bills.
Yeah,
I'm doing it as if like, so, yeah, anyone can see me. But anyways, you can imagine. And so now the travel industry has taken this term from revenge spending and it's revenge travel. So it's essentially just yes. the pent up demand for travel since we haven't been able to do it for the last few months. And everyone now is just like, I'm going to travel the shit out of whatever when we can do it again.
Yes, with very predictable patterns on how we are going to do that.
Right.
They know us more than we know ourselves.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, and they will. We've seen this before. So in the 2008 economic crisis, when it hit, travel went down. It was about 8% that they saw a decline. And when travel picked back up again, it surplused
right.
over 6% above where it had been.
Right.
So that's that concept of revenge travel where it's like,
yeah,
I'm getting angsty. And then when you're allowed to go, you're like, take my money.
Well, and that's exactly kind of what I did with Spain. I mean, I didn't actually recognize that what I had done when I went to Spain a couple weeks ago for like 4 days was essentially revenge travel, right? Because I had been stuck at home and
traveling,
I'm like,
because you can.
I'm like, fuck this. Like, my flight wasn't that cheap to go away for three and a half days, but that was revenge travel. And I went, and then what happened? I got stuck in quarantine for two more weeks. So my revenge coming out of this is going to be even full on.
But that's the ominous risk of revenge travel is will revenge travel be those second, third, fourth mini waves?
Right.
Hopefully not.
Well, we should hope not. And
we don't know.
Yeah. And if you're going to be partaking in revenge travel, then these are some of the things now. Like, we can't just kind of be booking flights and hopping here, hopping there all willy-nilly. I've always wanted to use the term willy-nilly in a sentence, and I just did. So.
There you go. You did it. Go on. Go you.
Thanks. But I guess that's going to be one of the first things that we're, you know, you're going to have to do your research, which we always say anyways, but even more so now. I mean, you can't just, I mean, I almost booked a flight to Canada. And because I was kind of like, same thing, like, we're not in lockdown here. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go home, see my family. But then I didn't actually even take into consideration. I'm like, hold on. There is still a 2 week quarantine in place in Canada. Like, I was not looking at the research to the country I was going into. So I couldn't go, obviously. And then to quarantine at home, you know, like, you can't leave for 2 weeks. There's no point. So, if you're going to partake in the revenge travel research.
You just touched on point one of revenge travel, though, of what they think a big aspect of it is going to be, is more family-oriented travel. And multi-generational travel.
Okay.
So, a lot of times, people don't want to go on vacation with their family, their grandparents. Whereas now, where families have been separated, you know, interstate, across the world, they're going to see a spike in intergenerational travel where families are traveling together, bigger groups, and then they'll kind of stay closer to their family rather than being more social, you know, just in groups and tours and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see a decline in solo travel now that you say that. Like, I wonder if I'm quite an avid solo traveler, and I am sort of feeling like, okay, if I do go on a trip, like my next big trip or whatever, I'm kind of like, oh, I feel like I do want to go with someone. You know, I've been on my own for 4 months. Like, do I want to? I mean, granted, I'll still do my solo trips. Don't get me wrong. But off the bat, I wonder if we'll see less solo traveling. And as you said, people just getting together with their families and, you know, going wherever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then so my big thing that I, since we recorded last week, that I've actually been planning, I don't know when it will be, but I've been planning and researching, it's like tick one also of revenge travel, is I haven't been to the Northern Territories yet, and I've been to Queensland, but it was very short. So I wanted to do both. I actually did a deep dive into renting an RV, what size RV, how much it would be to get it for a couple weeks. Already, RV travel is through the roof because everyone's doing it.
Yeah, especially in a place like Australia. Like, again, we talked about a few episodes ago. I mean, if you're not flying anywhere, road tripping is where it's at.
Yep, absolutely. And from there, so, okay, maybe, you know what? Can I tell you the list I wrote down?
Yeah.
And then we can break it down why it was revenge travel to
Let's do it. Everyone loves a list. So let's go through a list.
Okay, so first up was that RV road trip, because as soon as interstate opens up here, I can do that. And then on the list, I had New Zealand.
Okay.
I had Palau from our sustainable list.
Right.
I put Vanuatu and the Solomon Islands just because they're close. They're closer to Australia, easier to get to. And then, of course, I had Canada to see my family since I didn't go home. I'm not going home this Christmas. And then I have California because I have friends out in California. I haven't seen them in some time. And that list, the progression of that list is exactly how they're saying travel's going to go.
Right.
When people start booking. So first it's going to be the RVs. Then it's going to be, interstate and domestic travel's going to be huge. And then it's going to be the nearby countries. So for example, Sri Lanka is really capitalizing on this to get all the Indian travelers.
Yes.
Once Indians are traveling more. So they're going to be getting India. New Zealand's going to be getting Australians. Europeans are going to be traveling around Europe again. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very much about what are your closest options as opposed to, you know, flying around the planet again.
And I wonder if some of, as you said, the destinations, people's lists are going to change just based on, like, are they going to visit countries where they never even thought about going before just because they're next door? You know, it's like, oh, especially in Europe, I'm sure, like, I have British friends that have, you know, born and raised here. And there's tons of European countries that they've never even considered visiting. Some of them that I've gone to just because, again, I do sometimes look at what's close, what's cheap. But granted, I'm not from here originally. Like, part of the reason I moved over here was to kind of see as much of Europe as I could. And yeah, I have some friends that are looking at even some of those like Eastern European or Central European countries that they didn't consider before, where they're like, actually, why not? It gets me out, you know, gets me traveling. It's cheap. It's, you know, building up the travel economy again. But yeah, again, some of these places just never really on their list of places to go. And now they are. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I never thought about going to Vanuatu or the Solomon Islands. But when I was just kind of playing around and being like, where am I realistically? And granted, my list takes no consideration for my budget or my time off.
Like, right, right.
That was just like, what will I do if I can do everything? But yeah, it's really interesting. There's a whole psychology right now around how these countries too are going to be marketing their tourism to get people there.
Okay.
So this is actually a really great opportunity. A couple weeks ago, I said what I don't miss about traveling was the over tourism.
Right.
And when you go somewhere, there's thousands of people.
Tourists. You don't miss this tourists, even though you know the irony of you saying that. But yeah, I get you.
This is a great opportunity for countries not typically known for tourism to level that playing field a bit and get their numbers up, while places who've been overwhelmed, their numbers could slowly come down a bit.
Right. Well, I know I was reading, again, while I was kind of reading up on revenge travel, they're saying like Southeast Asia, for example, they're going to see like a massive influx of people going over there that might live on that sort of your side of the world almost, right? So talking about them, just have like being prepared for that influx of tourists, whether it's like hotels, restaurants, you know. See, I like that you've actually planned out your revenge travel stuff. Like, I haven't even done that yet. I just know I'm gonna partake in it, but like I have no plan. So you've now, by you providing your list, I think what I need to do this week is actually like sit down and actually come up with like it's almost as if now with travel and the planning we have to make for it is almost more practical than anything. Like, it's practical travel planning. Whereas before, again, I would just book a flight willy nilly. I said it again. How many times can I say willy nilly in this episode?
You've said it 4 or 5 now.
That's like twice. Give me a break.
No, because you said it every time you said you wanted to say it. You said it again. You doubled up.
Oh, fine. I love that you're keeping count. But yeah, anyways, it's going to be the practicality around it. And again, looking at what countries am I actually allowed to go into right now? Which ones have like a mandatory quarantine when I come back? You know, it's going to be working around all of those rules.
And some of the things they're looking at is countries, because, you know, everyone's talking about like, what is travel going to look like post-COVID? And some of the things could be, now, obviously, sorry, USA, this isn't you, but a lot of countries, you get your test results in 2 to 3 days.
Right.
So a lot of traveling, they're expecting it to be longer trips as opposed to shorter. Like, people used to travel for 3 or 4 days. It's now going to be a week because you get tested when you land and then have a mandatory quarantine until your results come in. And then you can begin your trip. That's one of the things they're looking at. So one of the things to take into consideration about all these trips is they might need to be a bit longer, especially for Europeans. When you do go away for a long weekend, that might not be the norm anymore.
No more 3 days in Spain. And you're right. You know, it's almost worth like, and again, depending on your type of trip, you know, maybe you could go away to, like, you know, my family, they're at a cottage right now in Canada. It's like, could have gone potentially for 2 weeks, quarantined there. granted, I don't know what the rules are about, you know, they would then not have to leave either. And that means that my entire family has to quarantine with me. So I'd get there and be like, none of you can leave. So that's not cool. But as you said, doing the, you know, again, me being in Spain for 3 days, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's next time that I have to, if I do go to Spain, it's like, hey, you stay there for a couple of weeks. But I guess, you know, hand in hand, now everyone's working remotely. You might be able to do that, you know, as long as you've got somewhere you're staying. You got Wi-Fi, yeah. You can work from. I mean, we talked about that a couple episodes ago in terms of like how travel is going to change in the future and how workplaces are they going to go back to a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday office type setup, or are we going to work remotely forever? So, yeah, you don't know. But yeah, equally, things can change so quickly. Like even last night, I think in the UK, anyone coming back from Belgium, the Bahamas, and Andorra, they also have to self-isolate for 14 days. And that, again, just happened overnight yesterday. It's as of sometime this week anyways. I can't remember the exact day or time they have to be back, but it's all changing so fast and so sporadically as well. Yeah. And as the cases spike and fall, and, you know, according to Donald Trump in the U.S., the cases are falling. I mean, I don't know if anyone watched that interview with Jonathan Swan.
They're the lowest in the world.
They're the lowest, which means that they're the highest, which means they're the best. That was my favorite line from the interview. For those of you who haven't seen the interview with Donald Trump and Jonathan Swan, it is literally the best thing. There was actually a parody. Jimmy Fallon did a parody of it. I didn't see this yet. Which was funny, but it's the actual interview is funnier than Jimmy Fallon doing a parody of it. So that says a lot. Anyways.
2020.
We've gone on a tangent. But yeah, it's just how quickly this is all changing and how sporadic it is. So, you know, if you are going to partake in that revenge travel...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You have to be prepared.
Be ready.
For revenge.
Yeah, that's
back.
The thing is, right now you got to be mentally prepared for anything to happen, to be stuck there, to not be able to get back. That's the same thing two different ways. I know. To quarantining again. It's just everything's so unpredictable right now.
Well, and a lot of people, I think, as well. You know, when I told people I came back from Spain and said, look, I've got a quarantine for 14 days. You know, I had a lot of people being like, but, you know, surely they're not going to check. How will they know? And I'm like, well, first of all, even if they're not, we should be following the rules, right? So don't use revenge travel as a, like, fuck you, I'm just going to go do my thing. And I don't care that there's a global pandemic still happening. It's still happening. It's still very real and people are still dying. But also a lot of these countries are taking it very seriously. One of my colleagues, their next door neighbor, they came back from somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but they actually had someone come and check up on them to make sure that they were quarantined. They came to their front door. So when my colleague told me that, I was kind of like, oh shit, like they could turn up at my doorstep any day now. They haven't.
Yeah, they're doing that here in Australia. They're door knocking and they're finding about 25%, and this is of people who've tested positive. One quarter of the people are not there. of people who've tested positive. I don't even know what the numbers are for people who've just, you know, returned and are supposed to be quarantined out of precaution.
Right, which is me.
But they're doing mad door knocking here. And the fines?
The fines in Canada, I think, are up to like $100,000 or something. Which is another reason when I'm when I was looking at potentially booking a flight home, I'm like, I'm not, what am I doing? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, having to quarantine for 2 weeks, if I did break it, you know, even if I screwed up, made a mistake and say I did break quarantine, I mean, the potential fine of $100,000? You think I have $100,000? I just dropped all the money I have buying a flat in London. I can tell you right now I'm broke. So please share this podcast with more people so we get more listeners, guys. What are the fines in Australia?
The fines in Australia here. So they're different state to state, but they're wild. So if you're not quarantining, quarantining? I think I said quarantini.
Quarantini. Ooh, have we just made a new drink? Should we quarantini?
I've heard a million people say that.
Fine. I'm not as creative or clever as I thought.
Yeah, but if you're found not complying, basically, you can get up to $20,000 in some states, $50,000 in others. If you're a business, so say, for example, I have my own business here. I could potentially, as a business, be fined $100,000. Like, they are cracking down.
Right, as they should be. I think everyone took too long to deal with this. And, I mean, you know who's not still dealing with it? The U.S. I mean, everything we talk about, I think, in the last few months, anything we talk about in this podcast, sorry, U.S., none of it is related really to you. Not applicable. I'm really sorry for what you guys are
going through. American listeners can go back and just start on our March, like our second week of March episode.
Yeah, not the first episode in March, because we've had people listen to that episode like weeks later, and that was the episode where I'm encouraging people to take advantage of cheap flights while a global epidemic. It was not a pandemic yet, guys. Quickly, that changed, and we did have listeners private message us saying, how could
this
you...
This was bad advice.
Yeah, they're like, this is terrible advice. I'm like, no, please look at the timestamp. Look at what date we put it out. So again,
we're like, we know it's bad advice.
We know, but it's there, guys. It's, you know, sometimes the episodes we put out, they do not age well, and that one did not after a week.
No,
so, anyways, but now we're four months later. Now we're in the revenge travel portion of COVID, which it's
this
starting.
What are the stages of recovery for alcoholics?
Oh,
like,
so
we've got to be in some revenge travel. Must be like in the looking to the future stage.
So I think what you're talking about is the five stages of grief, which I think COVID, we're all going through grief right now, right? So it's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, which I actually feel
we're in the final stage.
We are.
We're there.
I do feel like denial would have been March, when we're like, fuck it, get on a plane, it's fine. Anger was when the whole world went into lockdown and everyone's pissed off about it. Bargaining, then we're like, all right, so maybe we can go outside for a bit of exercise, but I mean, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good bargaining.
Oh,
maybe it was like, you can travel for a bit, but then if you come back, you go into quarantine.
Oh, I don't know.
Depression, when you just sort of realize this sucks.
I feel like depression for me was the days where there were days where sometimes I'd be watching something sappy on TV and it would kind of make me tear up a little. And then suddenly that would trigger like, I'm crying, I'm messaging people. I was just like a hot mess. And they're like, why are you crying? I'm like, I don't know.
I watched a dog being reunited with its owner. And then acceptance, which I do feel like, we're accepting it now, and we're just accepting that travel's going to change and the way we do it's going to change. We've gone through, I mean, I just hope that we don't have to go through it again, you know, like five stages of grief, but like, do we want a second, what do you call it? Like a second wind? I don't know the right word, but you get what I'm saying. Let's not do this again. So everyone that is partaking in revenge travel, please follow the rules, you know, do it responsibly.
Well, And sorry, you touched on, you know, accepting that things are going to change. There's a few other potential changes in the works that, yeah, I was a bit surprised by even. They kind of make sense. But while global airline travel is down so much, there's a lot of environmental organizations lobbying governments to, because airlines are asking for bailouts right now to try to save the business. And environmentalist groups are lobbying governments to attach climate change related. Clauses.
Yeah.
Attached to these bailouts. So things like even, and this one hit me, although I guess I don't fly as much anymore. Things like a frequent flyer levy where they could be adding higher taxes to people who travel more often, which would also encourage longer trips as opposed to more trips.
Makes sense.
There's a number of different, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And well, no one knows what it will be, but there's a lot of ideas out there.
And I think especially, so they're saying, you know, in the last few months, they've seen like carbon emissions drop, you know, it's like the environment. I think we did an episode on this, didn't we? I can't even remember now how the environment
We did sustainable travel.
That's it, sustainable, yeah. So
just a few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's actually, COVID has been a very good thing for the environment because people aren't traveling as much. However, with this surge now of revenge travel, environmentalists and environmentalist groups are worried that it's just going to go back up to what it was, that people aren't going to give a shit because they've been so pent up and they're ready to go. So yeah. I agree. This is the time if they're going to start putting something in, whether it's being taxed more or, you know, putting in a clause when you fly. Now's the time to do it. And I don't know why they wouldn't use this opportunity to jump on
that. People are trying.
Yeah. So it's good. But again, guys, think about if you're going to start embarking on, you know, even more traveling than you did before because you've got that pent up urge to do it. Think of that as well. Think of where we've come in terms of the environment in the last 4 months and how good it's been. Let's not screw it up again.
Yeah. And another thing to accept is a big part of revenge travel, as they're saying, is that it's going to be mostly for the wealthy, the people who can afford to just drop a lot more money and you know, kind of, I deserve this. But
yeah.
It's going to be, you know, backpackers and budget travelers who kind of feel the sting here because prices are going to go up. That is inevitable. It's something I'm mentally trying to accept.
Right.
But I'm hoping countries like Vanuatu or New Caledonia come up with sort of a scheme like Iceland did to try to get people there, to try to build their tourism industry. So we'll see what happens there. I'm hoping.
Well, even with that said, I was doing some reading that they're saying that, you know, while the initial flight might be more expensive, they're actually saying things like upgrades aren't going to be as expensive. So actually, if you are privileged enough to get a flight somewhere, you know, if you are going to partake in revenge travel, maybe actually look at, if you've never, and you know, there's people that fly business all the time. If you're someone that never has and you just want to try it out, maybe this is the opportunity for you to look into it and see what, you know, see how much extra it would be. You know, I'm not suggesting everybody fly business class because, again, as what we were just talking about in terms of the environment, that's not great. But if you're not doing it all the time, and as you said, Steph, with revenge travel, it's a little bit of treat yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe now is the time, you know, try it out. But I'm just telling you, if once you fly business or first class, you're not going to want to go back to economy. So just prepare yourself.
I thought you were going to have some clever rhyme there.
No. Once you go business, you never go. Nothing rhymes
business.
With
nothing.
Okay, moving on swiftly. So, Steph, I'm going to come up with my revenge travel list for...
Yes.
I mean, I don't think it's even going to be the rest of this year, honestly. Like, I don't think I'm going anywhere. No. I think Spain, that was my one.
Dip your toes back in and get your hands slapped.
And then look what happened. So I think I'm going to stay put. I mean, we've got... Well, I'm staying put until Monday anyways. Can't go anywhere. But, you know, we've got the beautiful weather in London right now. It's like 30 plus degrees. So I can pretend I'm in Spain from my Juliet balcony inside for the time being. And if anyone else has revenge travel plans, let us know. Let us know how you're going to execute them. I want to know, how much research are you guys putting in? You know, where are you going and why are you going? Is there a practical reason behind it? Is it somewhere that you had planned before we went into lockdown? I mean, for me, one of the places I really do want to go, and if I'm going to go anywhere else, it's going to be Italy. Remember how I said I was going to go to Italy earlier this year and I was going to like propose to myself on a gondola?
Do you remember how I said, I'm like, you're not going to Italy. I hope your friend's okay. We're supposed to be getting married.
I mean, clearly her wedding did not happen, but she's in high spirits. She just said, hey, look, we're going to do it next year, but I'm still going to go to Italy ahead of time. And I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to propose to myself and I might one up it. I might marry myself while I'm there. I might have my own.
You know what? Now is the time, well, when you can, to go to Venice while there aren't thousands and thousands of tourists.
True. That's a good point.
Do it. Do it.
You know what's going to happen then while I'm there?
You're going to fall in love with a gondola driver?
No, I was going to... Maybe. But I was going to say Italy will be put on the UK's list of places on arrival having to quarantine. So, I mean, we should just see. I should just start booking places across Europe and just see if it's just my luck. Everywhere I go, it gets put on the...
Yes. COVID is all about you, Andrea.
It's obviously. Clearly. All right. Let us know.
And for all our Patreon donors, I sent some packages out this past week. If you haven't received yours yet, it should be coming soon. I heard one I sent a couple months ago to the United States just arrived not long ago. So
amazing.
Things are a little slow, but it's on the way.
All right. Thanks, guys. We will see you next week. All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.